Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Choices. But first, here's his message, Building Spiritual Foundations for Life.
Now would you take God's word and turn with me to Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. You know, these are shaky and unsettling times. It is apparent that for some people, absolute truth is now up for negotiation. Ethics are considered relative. We call that situational ethics. If it's comfortable, it's convenient, we do what is right. And it seems that we're living in a time when wrong is right and right is wrong. And it's obvious that the very foundations of our society are crumbling. And while there are many people today who claim to believe in God and claim even to follow the teachings of the Bible, there's a great deal of misunderstanding and myth concerning the reality of God and how we know God. And so as we begin at the beginning laying these foundations, we have to begin, of course, with God, because that's the way the Bible begins. Can I tell you that knowing God is foundational to the Christian life? It's the essence of what being a Christian is. Knowing God. And the greatest pursuit in life is to know Him and to make Him known. That is the mission statement, or should be the mission statement, of every believer. Now, Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories or boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Our Savior, Jesus Himself, said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Now, the only way to know God is to discover what God says about Himself in Scripture. Not what I think about God, not what I imagine God to be, but rather what God has declared Himself to be in His Word. The final arbiter, the final judgment upon the nature, the reality, the character, the personality of God is given to us clearly in the Scriptures. We have a God who is an extraordinary God who dwells in extraordinary glory and does extraordinary things. So what is it that you boast about in life? What inflames your soul? What is the subject of your conversation? The Scripture says, if you boast, don't boast in your possessions, don't boast in your personality, but boast that you know God, that you understand Him. Above all else, seek Him, know Him. Paul had a mission statement in life that he gave us. And I read it from the Amplified. My determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. When I talk about knowing God, I'm not talking about the awareness of God, nor am I talking about the mere intellectual pursuit of God, but rather the intimate, personal, experiential knowledge of God. And Jesus came that we might know God in that way, that we might sense and know the presence of God. Thousands of years ago, the Egyptian Pharaoh asked an important question. He said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Now, that's a good question. And when it comes to knowing who God is and what God is like, we must admit that our finite minds are limited. That's why it's so foolish to disregard God. You know, many people reject a God that they really don't know. Disbelieve a God that they don't understand. The Bible only gives one half of one verse to the atheist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And how foolish it is, mankind, with a limited mind and a limited comprehension, to say there is no God. Sort of like those Russian cosmonauts we've talked about before, who went up a few miles into outer space and said, we've searched the heavens and there is no God. All they had to do is step out of that little spaceship and they'd have met him face to face. I would assure you. And yet we have to admit that those of us who know God and claim Him as our personal Savior and Lord, we have to admit that His greatness, according to the psalmist, Psalm 145, verse 3, His greatness is unsearchable. There's certainly things about God that we can never know, certainly things about the nature of God that we can't quite understand. And for example, I believe in the Trinity. The Bible teaches that God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Someone says, explain that. I can't explain that. There are some illustrations and examples, and we try to explain the Trinity. The fact is, the Bible teaches that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are co-eternal, co-equal. I wouldn't want to believe in a God that I can completely understand. Paul said, now we see in part. Now we see through a mirror, a glass darkly. We can't see it all. We can't know it all, but then we shall know even as we are known. And just because it doesn't make sense to me doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. And just because it doesn't make sense now doesn't mean it won't make sense later. But we'll have our eyes open. And Paul said in another passage of Scripture that I have not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love Him, but the Spirit has revealed it unto us. And how has He revealed it? Through the Scripture. And so with spiritual eyes, God will allow us to have glimpses of His glory and of His power and His majesty. The Scripture tells us so much about the nature and the character of God. We don't have to wonder or conjure up in our imagination the identity of God. And so I want to talk about a few of the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. And we're going to deal with the omnes this morning. O-M-N-I, which means all. The all sufficiency of God. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. And He is omniscient. To say God is omniscient means that God is all-knowing. To say that God is all omnipotent, it means to say that God is all-powerful. And to say that God is omnipresent means that He is everywhere. And let's deal with that portion of the deity, that part of the character of God first, that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, verse 7 of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. You see, God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. Our God transcends time and space. And He is ruling and reigning over all the universe and all of His creation. He didn't create the universe, wind it up, and then walk away, as the deists believe. No, He is vitally connected with what God has made. Nor is God and creation the same. That's mysticism. That's pantheism, which says God is all and all is God. And that's what you hear so much today in the New Age philosophies, that we are all God and that God is part of all of us. But that's not what the Bible teaches about God. God and His creation are separate. He is wholly other than all of the creation. We see God in creation. We see His glory in creation. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. When we take a walk through the Rockies, when we see the depth and the majesty of the Grand Canyon, when we walk beside a powerful, majestic ocean, when we look up into a heavenly night and see the magnificence of the stars, we can give glory to the God who made all of that, because God is present. He is present in all of His creation. He never absents Himself. Now, this means if you know God, that He is near all the time. That God is not so otherworldly and distant and far away like the Force in Star Wars. That He's not just a force. That He's not just transcending human beings, but rather, when we call upon Him, He is near us, because the Bible tells us that God is a spirit and that God has a personality, and that anywhere we are, God is there. There was a day when Jacob was running from God and he was disillusioned and discouraged, and he made his pillow on rocks one evening. I've never quite understood that. Laid down and made pillows out of rocks. And he went to sleep, and there he encountered the glory of God and that ladder ascending up into heaven. And after the dream and after that encounter with God, he made a place of worship there. And he said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. You see, God was there all the time. He didn't know it until God broke through in time and space and revealed Himself in that spectacular way. But the fact is that God was there all the time. God is here. And the fact is, you can know Him as a father and as a friend, that God longs to relate to you, that God longs to know you, that God longs to forgive you, that He loves you with an everlasting love, a love that transcends time and space.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Building Spiritual Foundations for Life. There's a lot of noise out there with a lot of opinions about what's right. Who do you listen to when it's time to make a decision? Pastor Jack Graham wrote his book, Choices, to help you cut through the distractions and see things from God's perspective. We want to send you Choices as our way of saying thank you for your gift today to keep God's Word on the air. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Building Spiritual Foundations for Life.
Now, all the religions of the world emphasize performance in knowing God, mastering certain beliefs, obeying certain laws and codes of conduct, engaging in rigorous religious duties and rituals. But in all the religions of the world, in all the systems of belief in the world, these all put God in a box. And anytime you put God in a box, God refuses to stay in our box, even if it's a religious box. And God breaks through all the religious systems and through all the rituals and through all the stuff, and He breaks through in our lives because God is everywhere. The psalmist said, if I ascend to heaven, God is there. If I lay down in hell, God is there. Don't think the devil's the one ruling hell, making people bend over with a pitchfork. God Almighty rules heaven and earth and hell itself. He is in control. And that means that I'm never out of His sight, that I can always know His presence. The Scripture says the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He especially is near to those who are hurting and broken. He is hope for the hopeless. And as a believer in the Lord God through Jesus Christ, you never walk alone. And even in those darkest days and nights, when you wondered, is God really here? He was there all the time. Francis Schaeffer, the great theologian and philosopher, wrote a book, God is here and He is not silent. God is here. He is omnipresent. But not only is God omnipresent, He is omnipotent, and that means God is all powerful. It means God asks no one for permission to do anything that He does. That He is sovereign and powerful, of infinite power. The scripture asks the rhetorical question, is there anything too hard for God? And the obvious answer is no. Nothing is too hard for God. The angel said to Mary, when Mary was questioning the possibility of a virgin birth, the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. And it's true. It's true. It's more than a cliche to say that there's no problem that He cannot solve. There is no promise that He cannot keep. There is no person that He cannot save. In fact, the greatest evidence, you say, what is the greatest evidence of the power of God? I would say, according to the scripture, the greatest evidence of the power and the majesty and the glory of God was when He saved us from our sin through Jesus Christ and by the power of His resurrection. Think about that. Think about your sin. Think about that one sin in your life that you're having trouble dealing with. It's that troubling sin. It's that constant sin, and you sin and you ask forgiveness and that sin comes back. It's sort of like that movie Groundhog Day. I mean, you just keep living it over and over and over again. It never changes, and you keep dealing with that sin, and you can't defeat that sin because you're weak and you don't have the power to deal with it. Now, I want you to think about your sin. Then I want you to think about the sin of all the people in this room this morning. And then I want you to think about all the sin of the people in Dallas and then Texas, and then I want you to think about all the sin of the people in this nation, and then in all the nations and all the world. And then I want you to think about the sins of all the people who are not only living now, but have lived and will live. Put all those sins in that bag. And then I want you to think about the sins of all kinds, of all ages. Throw Idi Amin's sins in there. Throw Genghis Khan's sins in there. Throw Hitler's sins in there. Throw your sins in there. Throw all the sins of all the world, of all of time and eternity. And then realize when Jesus Christ died on the cross, His blood paid the price and the penalty for our sin. And by His resurrection, He broke the chains of sin by explosive resurrection power and by the power of a God who is able to save to the uttermost all them who believe in Him. By that power, we know that God is God. He is. He is able. He is always able. Our God is able. It's staggering, isn't it? You say, well, I can't understand all of that. It wasn't meant that we could understand all of that. We are simply in the face of what God has done for us to bow down and worship Him. Because God is omnipotent. And then not only is God omnipotent and God omnipresent, but finally God is omniscient. That means God knows all things. In Psalm 139, it says, O Lord, verse 1, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You comprehend my path and are acquainted with all my ways. Psalm 147 in verse 5 says, His understanding is infinite. Verse 4 says, He tells the numbers of the stars and calls them by name. I've always thought it was amazing when the creation is described. God created the planets. God created the earth. He created mankind. And as He's creating all the galaxies and the glories of the universe, it simply says, and He made the stars also. Just with the flick of a finger. All the heavens. Man has constantly peered into the heavens, and now we have these monster telescopes that can look beyond the galaxies as we know them and see even into the light years beyond us, and yet we have just limited understanding of the infinity of space. The Bible says God knows all about that. He understands that. He numbers the stars and He names them. He's got a name for every one of them. And yet that same God who numbers and names the stars, Jesus said He knows the number of the hairs on our head. And then not only does He know the number of our heads, but He knows our names. If He names the stars, don't you know He knows the names of the saints? Our names are recorded in His infinite mind and heart. Jesus said, even when a sparrow falls, just a pitiful little sparrow falls, God is there to perform the funeral service. He knows. And if God cares about the birds, don't you know He cares about the believers? He cares about you. He knows us. He knows my past as well as my future. And the best thing is He knows my heart. You remember Simon Peter? He bragged that he would never deny Christ. And yet he failed miserably and, as you know, denied Him three times. And after the death of Christ, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And he meant, I'm going back to fishing. I'm out of here. I'm going back to my old life. But he got back to the Sea of Galilee, and there the risen Lord met he and the disciples one morning as they were fishing. And Jesus had prepared some coals around the fire, and there was Simon Peter, just ashamed, probably couldn't look Jesus in the eyes. Jesus said to Simon Peter that morning, Simon, do you love me? And Simon said, Lord, you know I have an affection for you. After what he had done, he certainly didn't want to brag again about his great love for Jesus. He said, Lord, I have an affection for you. Jesus asked him again, the second time, Simon, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I like you. I like you a lot. Then Jesus said the third time, Simon, do you love me? And that just buckled the big fisherman. And that's when he said, Jesus, you know I love you. Simon realized that Jesus knew his heart. And that Jesus didn't mistake the moment for the man and the failure as final. Because Jesus knew that man loved him. And it was with the knowledge that he was loved of God and that he loved Jesus that he was restored and became the flaming, passionate preacher of Pentecost and the rock that Jesus said he would be. You see, God knows our hearts. He knows all about us. He knows what we need. And He meets us at the point of our need. And I ask you today, will you receive a God like that? Who is omniscient. He knows all things. Who is omnipotent. He is able to save to the uttermost them who come to Him by faith. And a God who is omnipresent, who is here, and He's not silent. He's speaking to you. And bringing you to Himself.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Building Spiritual Foundations for Life. It's easy to say you want to choose wisdom over foolishness, but with all the decisions coming at you every day and all the opinions, how do you make wise choices consistently? Dr. Jack Graham wants to show you how by sending you his book, Choices, as his way of saying thank you for your financial gift to PowerPoint today. Discover the 10 non-negotiable choices that will help equip you with godly wisdom for every decision in life. We'll send you a copy of this practical resource as a thank you for your donation to keep biblical truth like today's message encouraging you and others around the world. So call now to request your copy of Choices when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
In Matthew 10:29, Jesus tells us that not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's knowledge. And if God cares about that sparrow, don't you know that He cares about you as a believer? If God cares about birds, He cares so much more for believers. He does. And it's an amazing thought that the same God who made the stars and calls them by name is the God who knows the number of hairs on our heads. Not only does He know the number of hairs on your head, He knows your name. And your name is recorded in God's infinite mind and heart. That is a phenomenal thought. God knows you. He knows your past as well as your future. And the thing He knows better than anyone else is your heart. Now, even though that might strike terror into your life to think that God knows you that much, He sees the worst about you. But isn't it wonderful that God not only knows the worst about you, but He loves you anyway? Perhaps today you feel like Simon Peter. You feel like you've let God down in some way. Perhaps you feel ashamed of something in your past, a failure that you just can't seem to get over. If so, I want you to remember that with Jesus, no failure is ever final. The Lord Jesus restored Peter, and He will restore you as well if you will come to Him. He knows your heart. He knows all about you. He knows what you need. He knows the worst about you and the best about you, and He loves you like no one else. He knows what you need, and He wants to meet you at the point of your need today. Please let Him restore you and renew you in Jesus' name.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Choices, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about what it means to know God through His holiness. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.